In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If one does a survey of the spiritual life of spiritual writers, what one will discover is that all of the saints have in common that they endured, they persevered, they never grew tired of doing the good works that they were instructed to do. They knew that were incumbent upon them as men and women who sought to live the life of Christ. And it could be said very simply that therein lies the key to sanctity. For we know that at times we sin and we fail. The Lord himself makes that clear in giving us the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, finding this most beautiful and perfect way to bring us back to himself when at times, sadly, we fail. But what must continue for us is to strive for that perfection and never grow weary, most especially when we confront our faults, our failings, and our weaknesses. In truth, if we are honest, we are more beset by failure and sin than we are by success. And if we judge then the quality of our existence by the degree to which we had success in cooperating with the grace of God, we might come to some conclusions. One, that the grace of God is not powerful enough to transform us. Hence the world in which we live today, for so many people actually believe that. Or two, that somehow we ourselves are so corrupt that the power of God's grace is not able to actually do anything to us. But of course, grace is real and true. Grace is transformative. And we can cooperate with that grace such that we can live in the Spirit and through the Spirit live this life of fidelity to which we are called. And as Paul tells the Galatians, the manifestation of this life of fidelity is in our service to one another, those who are less fortunate than ourselves, those who are beset by sin, who then rely upon us to instruct and admonish them, but to do so in humility, he says, lest you fall into temptation by instructing others. And then he concludes by reminding us that we need to do this for everyone, but especially for those of the faith. I find myself oftentimes less concerned about the world and more concerned about us, the us being the church. I do indeed want everyone to be saved, but I guess in a sense I want us to be saved first, not because we are deserving of it or because we are better about doing it, but because this is the life to which God has called us, and there must be something about being baptized that separates us from everyone else, that we get to be first in line. But we get to be first in line if we do the things that God asks us to do. And so our energies need to be here, brothers and sisters. Yes, we can change the world outside, and we should always be working to transform society and culture. But as we know very concretely, very real and true, the transformation of society and culture comes about through each of us being transformed. You need to seek holiness. You need to strive to be saints in your daily lives. Now, let's be really honest and true, because Paul gives this exhortation to the Galatians, don't grow tired. And actually, he repeats that through several of his letters, because we actually get tired. It's hard to do this day in and day out. It's difficult to do it moment by moment, and that's precisely what we are asked to do. Think about a 24-hour period and all the sins that you can commit in that 24-hour period. You wake up in the morning, you're already disgruntled and upset about something, and you go to bed at night frustrated and angry about the day that you led, and everything in between is complicated and difficult and overwhelming. And I have to do that again the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that. And a whole lifetime of stringing together this perfectedness to which we are actually called. And so if one gives up the whole project, one can understand that on a natural level. But that's precisely the reason why we fail, is because we approach this only on a natural level. Left to your own devices, you cannot do this. If you strive for this holiness by yourself, with no recourse to the life of grace, the life of prayer, the life of sacrament, then you will not have success, and you will be overwhelmed, and you will feel tired, and you will give up. But if you draw near to the Spirit, live life in the Spirit, and allow the Spirit to live in you, to capture and embrace you, then you will receive supernatural strength to live this supernatural life. And what comes about? What do we receive if we live this life in the Spirit? The gospel makes it clear. We receive everlasting life. The sin of Adam and Eve and the effects of that sin, death, are now remitted against us. And so what does the Lord do? He raises this young man from death to new life, restores him to his mother so that they can reform that community. But as he does that, he makes manifest that indeed he is the victor over sin and death. And this is what awaits us. But not only what will be, but actually what is now. New life in Christ. The question I often ask myself when I find myself either in the confessional line, angry that I'm there, but having no one else to blame for being there but myself, or when I find myself in my car committing sins, as so often I do, when I find that my patience by the end of the afternoon has worn thin and another phone call, another question, another demand will simply put me over the top, and sometimes it does, I ask myself, when will that moment be that I become convicted of the things that I actually believe? When will that moment come and transpire in my life that I will put into practice what Scripture tells me, but more importantly, the one that I experience in the most holy Eucharist? It's not a rhetorical question. Because I go through all of these emotions, all of this disquiet, all of this lack of peace. And then when all is said and done, I find myself back in the hands of the Lord again, entreating His mercy and compassion, which He willingly, joyfully, freely bestows upon me. My life then returns, not to some balance on a natural level, but that deep abiding peace that only God can bring. And I want to stay there, and I want to remain there. And then I act as if somehow it isn't within my control to cooperate with the grace of God to actually remain there. Brothers and sisters, we can do this. God has not set us up for failure. God is not mocking us, and so we should not mock Him. Instead, we should cooperate with Him in the ways that we can, allowing that grace to truly inhabit every fiber of our beings to live in the Spirit. And then, captured by this Spirit, to go forth and to change the world. And so don't grow tired, as much as we might be inclined to do so. And when you find that your energy is waning, return to God again and again. A year ago, we began Eucharistic adoration, and it has borne fruit, made manifest by our increased numbers, by our greater stability, and our strength, even and most especially in the face of adversity, an adversity that is being heaped upon us by the very ones who should shepherd us. But we are not disheartened. We are not afraid. And we will endure, not because of our own native talents or our strength. We will endure because we come to God in Christ, and in Him we find our strength. Come and spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Whether it be during our time of adoration on Wednesdays and First Fridays, or any time throughout the week, come and be with the Lord. Experience that peace that comes from relationship with Him, but also that strength that comes from resting in Christ. Put on the new man who is our Lord. And in so doing, realize that in Him is new life, life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.